to talk from the title, I Can't Do This No More. I can't do this no more. Anybody ever been there? I can't do this no more. I can't. I just can't. I can't do this church thing. I can't do this Jesus thing no more. But I caution you that that is a very, very good place to be. Because God never intended you or expected you and I to do it under our own power. But be careful what you say about what you're going to do and about your life, because death and life is in the power of the tongue. And what the enemy will try to do, the enemy will try to frustrate you, because the enemy knows that your new life is now founded on Christ. So the enemy said, if I can frustrate you in another area of your life to pull you off the foundation of Christ, you walk around talking about, I can't do this no more. When you didn't realize that you weren't doing it anyway. Amen. It's God that's working through you, but the enemy will try to frustrate you to the point that what he'll do is, like, things will be okay in church, and then he start messing with your kids. Things will be okay for church, then he start messing with your family and with your finances and with your job and with your marriage, trying to throw you off. So you can talk about, I can't do this no more. It reminds me of what little Momo said. Ain't enough people up there do no church. Cause he told me, because we have a screensaver. He taught me a lot this morning. And there's fish on the screensaver. And he was watching the fish, and he was counting the fish on the screensaver. But then by mistake, he touched the keyboard, and the screensaver went off. So he said, where are the fish? So I said, let's pray for the fish. Father God, in the almighty name of Jesus, send the fish back. He looked and said, it don't work. It didn't work. And sometimes you and I are just like little Mo. We get to the point, we ask God for this, and we ask God for that, and it does not seem to work. And we go out and talk about, I can't do this no more. I can't. And I say, good. And I believe God said good, because I need you to begin to realize that I want to work through you, that you're not doing this by yourself. And see, Paul, he's Timothy's spiritual father. And he's Timothy's mentor. And Timothy was left there at the church of Ephesus to be the spiritual leader, the pastor. And Timothy was having some problems, not only because he was young, but because much opposition was in the church. How many of us know that we're going to have some opposition in our lives, some opposition in ministry? So we need to stop fooling ourselves, thinking everything going to be nice, everything going to go smooth, ain't going to be no ups, ain't going to be no downs. No, get ready for a turbulent ride. I remember my wife and I were on airplanes several times, and they say, you know, fasten your seatbelts, we're going through some, what they call those wind things, some turbulence. And I didn't see anybody take off their seatbelt and say, I'm getting off this plane. What? No, think about it now. Think about it. Now, why do we do that to God? God, I'm in some turbulence. And God is saying, fasten your seatbelt. No, I can't do this no more. I'm getting off this plane. I'm getting off this ministry. I'm getting off this church. I'm getting off this spiritual thing, because my life was better when I was in the world. No, it was not. The reason that we think our lives are better when we were in the world is because when we were in the world, we were numb to the things of God. And now that we've been spiritually awakened, we can see that God wants to do something different in our lives, but because we're used to what we're used to, because we're used to being heathen, we think that's better. It's not until we get used to being spiritual that we understand that heathen is not good. But Timothy was having some problems. Timothy was ready to throw in the towel. I wish I had somebody here that would just be real with me and tell you that every now and then you're about ready to throw in the towel. You know what God called you to do. You know what God told you to do. You know what God promised you. But God is taking you, taking a little bit too long. It's about to be 2014, and I've waited all through 2013. I've shared with my prayer partners what you said you're going to do in my life, and you haven't done it yet. God, I'm not tired of waiting on you. I can't do this no more. I can't do it. It don't look right. But God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. That's why it doesn't look right. God, why did you make me go through this? God said, because I know just how much you can bear. I know what I put in you. I know what you're able to deal with. I'm trying to teach you something you don't know. You thought that which I put in your life was going to break you? No, it made you. Because I got something else I need you to do, and I need somebody with some thick skin. I need somebody with some determination. I need somebody that's not afraid to go through what I'm getting ready to put them through, and when I might get glory out of their lives, and somebody else might be blessed, and we're talking about, I can't do this no more. This prayer thing ain't working. The fish ain't come back on my screen. But see, we get so, God is so good to us, we love God to be so instant. God's supposed to be so instant with us. If God don't answer it, God, if you don't answer it by December 31st, I can't do it no more. I'm telling you right now, you're going to have to get somebody else to do what you called me to do. Do y'all hear that? You're going to have to get somebody else to do what you called me to do. God, you have to get somebody else to take my place to do what you called me to do. That don't sound right, does it? You got to get somebody else to do what you called me to do. Instead of quitting, we need to check our power supply. Many people fall off the spirit, drop out from God, drop out from church because they are naturally tired from trying to be spiritual. Naturally tired from trying to be spiritual. You can't do it on your own strength. I'm here to let you know you can't do it. This is a spiritual journey. You got to have spiritual power. You got to be connected to the vine because without God, we can do nothing. You can't do it on your own strength. It might look good for a minute. But when the enemy starts throwing stuff at you, you're going to give that thing up. You got to do it in the spirit because it's in the spiritual recognition of who God is in your life that you begin to understand that no matter what happens, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. God, I don't like what you're doing to me right now, but I do understand you're God and you're faithful. And I'm going to be faithful unto you. I know you got my back, you got my front, you got my side. God, you got everything about it. The hardest thing is learn how to wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But God, I can't do this no more. I'm tired of waiting because you're blessing everybody else. You're blessing the chick that just joined the church and she ain't even saved all the way. Oh, God. I'm more saved than he or she is. I've been here all the 15 years this church been in existence and you're going to bless her. She just came in last Sunday and you got the nerve to drop it on her. So many haters. But walking in and operating in the spirit requires faith in God. You got to trust God. You got to have faith in God. Faith in God's word, faith in what God told you, and faith in what he will do, that he will do these things through. You got to understand. You got to believe God. Like we believe the lottery. Oh. Okay, like we believe the weather person. The believer must know that once they truly give their life to Christ, that there's a quickening that makes you a spirit person come alive for God's glory. No flesh can glory in the sight of God. God's kingdom is based on spiritual, not natural principles. Think about that. God's kingdom is based on spiritual, not natural principles. So if I come in the church and I'm going to stay in the flesh, I'm not going to get much done. I can go through the motions, but I'm not going to be blessed. I'm not going to be effective in ministry because I'm trying to do things naturally on a spiritual assignment. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any person be in Christ Jesus, they are a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 1 John 4:4, we love this. Great is he that's in me. So, what you going to do with it? Why is he greater in you? Because he knows what we need to overcome. We got to stop walking around spitting out scriptures. All things work together for the good. Greater is he that's in me. And then walk away. He ain't said nothing. He ain't done nothing with it. You just put it out in the atmosphere. But does that really apply to your life? Do you really believe that he's greater? If he's so much greater in your life, why are you afraid? Why are you fearful? Why are you running? Why are you turning this down? Why are you turning that down? Why are you trying to do everything else except what God has called you to do? Colossians 2:10 says, we complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. It's frustrating to know that you have all the spiritual power and you aren't getting anything done. If the enemy knows the power that you and I possess, and will do any and everything to try to block us, that should be an indicator to you and I how
powerful we really are, how spiritually powerful we really are. If the enemy wants to block your power, see, you know when something's valuable, when everybody wants it. Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, when everybody following you around, you know, and if the enemy wants to frustrate you to the point where you can't be spiritually powerful, do you know how powerful you really are? Do you know that the enemy is actually afraid of you and I? Because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. But we let the worldly things mess us up, and we succumb to the wiles of the enemy because we don't have our armor on. You can't leave home without it. Matter of fact, some houses, when you're home, you still got to have it on. Oh, my God. Because there's a fight. I come to let somebody know all the enemy ain't outside your house, okay? Amen. All the enemy's not outside. And sometimes I look in the mirror, I find another enemy. The enemy. Sometimes we are our own worst enemy. God, I know I'm doing wrong, but, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord, then the consequences come. If we're not careful, we'll find ourselves in a spiritual setting looking for natural results and then get frustrated and proclaim, I can't do this no more. There's a lot of people frustrated. I'm just frustrated with this whole church thing. That thing ain't working for me. That's because you're looking at it in the natural. We're so busy trying to get from God that we don't want God to get from us. Hey, I've met folk like that. Every time, all they want is something from God. All right, God, you said you're going to bless me. And God called you to do something, you ain't available. You can't do it. No, God, you said you're going to bless me and take care of me. But God said, you know, you're my hands and you're my feet. You're my arms. You're my spiritual beings in the world. You're here to proclaim the kingdom, and you can depend on me, but I can't depend on you. And every time I try to get you to do something for me, you got all these excuses about how you were brought up and how you was molested and how you were taken advantage of and how the white man don't like you. And every time. And all you're talking about, I can't do this no more. See, we're deep because when things are going our way, it's hallelujah, praise God, see me every Sunday. You let something come up. You let something come up in my life. I ain't going to church today. I ain't going. I'm mad at God. I ain't going. But Timothy could have done the same thing, but Timothy had somebody to encourage him on the journey. And see, you and I, we need somebody to encourage, not discourage. What I'm trying to let somebody know today, find out who your haters are. Don't call them when you're down. Don't call them. Don't call them. Don't call the wrong folk. When you all mess up, don't call somebody who messed up too. Because all they're going to do is talk about, you see, that's something. You think that's something? You should see what happened. Come on. Call somebody who's going to encourage you. Hey, come on. Hook up with somebody who's going to encourage you. Don't hook up with somebody who's going to bring you down. Well, you know, you thought you was always more spiritual than me anyway. You, when you hear that, hang up the phone and say, oh, I got to go. I left a pot on the stove. I got to. Don't lie, but think of something. Tell them right then and there, I had a revelation. I don't want nobody to be my friend who is envious and jealous of me, because I'm trying to get what God has. God got a plan for my life. God got a plan for your life. And I ain't got time to hear you all up in my ear and trying to give me bad advice about what I should do, because misery loves company. Well, misery, I cannot be your company. Not only with Timothy Young, he's like you and I. He's going through some rough times, opposition, right from your family sometimes because you love the Lord. You ain't asking for nothing. Why you give your money to the church? Did I ask you for any money? Why you spend your time serving the Lord? Did I ask you to serve the Lord with me? Did you buy this Bible? They just want you to be there so they can frustrate you, that's all. That's all they want you to do. They want you to just be around them. But I'm glad Timothy had somebody to encourage him. Paul was about ready. They've already knocked Paul off. They're ready to kill Paul. But Paul said, guess what? God has been so good to me, I can still encourage you. Because you can get the wrong kind of people. You can call and ask them, you know, I'm going through this to encourage you.
You think you're going through something? Nero getting ready to chop my head off, man. What you think you're going through? Paul had been with God, and Paul knew God so well. That's why he says, Philippians, that I want to know you in the power of your resurrection, in the power of your suffering. See, the power of resurrection means that I want to know you when you got up after the stuff. I want to know you when you got up after the mess. I want to know you after these things. See, in the power of the resurrection. That's what Paul's talking about. He said, I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. I'm happy with a little bit, and I'm happy with a lot, because whether I have a little or a lot, I still got God. One of the main reasons people get frustrated in church and in ministry is because of opposition. Opposition should be expected. That's why you can't run around thinking everybody love you. Because as soon as God keep on blessing you, send an anointing in your life, and move you up a little higher, some folk ain't going to. That's to be expected. Sorry, the church is not a perfect place. It's like a hospital. A hospital is one of the dirtiest places in the world. Got all the germs in there. See, y'all didn't like that. It smells clean, look clean, but think about what's in there. On one floor, this person got this. On another floor, they got one floor. You got to put a mask on and a robe on and tie your head up and wash your hands when you go in and wash your hands when you go out, and then take all the stuff off and put it in the trash. Oh, I wish I had a witness in here. That's what the church is. It's made up of you and I, and we got all kind of conditions. Ain't nobody in here got it going on no better than nobody else. My anointing might show more than yours, but this is my Sunday. Next Sunday might be yours. Oh, my God. See, you got to be careful, because if you quit God, then you quit your life. See, people don't understand. When you quit God, you quit your life. Everything connected to your life is found. If you're a Christian, it's connected to God. So when you stop serving God and stop worshiping God and get away from God, you are going on your way to disaster. Because everything in your life, when you gave your life to God, your life is hid with Christ in God. It's connected to God. That's why I tell folk, I don't care where you go, go somewhere and worship God. Go somewhere and give God the glory. Go somewhere and give God the praise. Go somewhere and learn about God, because God is the connecting force in your life. He going to make everything else all right. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto thee. See, some folk get gradually pulled away from God. And since most of us hate self-evaluation, that's rough. I don't like them either. But sometimes you got to look at yourself. It's not the pastor. It's not the other people in the church. It is Y, capital Y-O-U. But because it's so convenient to blame other folks, but by the time you've gone to 10 churches and you got the same problem, what is the common denominator? I've been to 10 churches, and in all 10 churches, I got the same problem. Well, the same person in all the 10 churches. Thank you. Thank you for following along with me. But guess what? We're in spiritual warfare. You ought to expect some fights. We are in spiritual warfare. That's why, you know, boxing match, they go to the corner. So you want to have the right people in your corner. You want to have the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You want to have the right people in the corner, because the people in the corner can advise you strategically as to how you're supposed to fight this thing, how you're supposed to get through this battle. And you might get some punches. They might get some punches in, but they can't kill you. They cannot destroy you. The enemy would love to sift you like wheat, but because of the blood of Jesus and because of who you belong to, the enemy cannot sift you like wheat. Some of us can't stand when something go wrong. God been so good. Things been going so good for us. As soon as there's a turn in the road, oh my God, where is God? God was the same place he was on that sunny day when you was having it your way. In 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 10, you find, we're going to focus on verses 5. You find Paul telling Timothy, he said, you know what? I need to remind you of some stuff. And God is telling us today, I need to remind you of some stuff. And this is what he says. He said, number one, I want you to remember. Because Timothy had gotten a message to Paul, said, this is rough. He said, what Paul said in verse 4, I'm being mindful of your tears. Anybody ever cry in ministry or just cry for life? Stuff just ain't going right. But don't worry about it. Go ahead and cry, because it's going to get better. God
God has not left you. He has not forsaken you. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to show your emotions. Just don't stay there. But God got a plan for your life, and sometimes in order to get to the good part, you got to go through the bad part. I always talk about food. I've seen some kitchens where I said, Lord, have mercy. I don't know what they're making, but it better be good because it's like a mess in here. But when they put that pie out the oven, Lord, have mercy. Some folk will mess your kitchen up, but what they deliver. That's what God is saying. Right now, it might look like a whole bunch of just, you know, just a whole bunch of stuff all mixed up. But God said, let me hang in there. Hang in there with me. And I'm going to bless your life. So Paul said, I see your tears. I need you, number one, to remember something. Look at verse 6. Verse 5 said, I remember your mama and your grandmama. I remember their unfeigned faith that was in them. It felt, first it was in your grandmother, and she passed it down to your mama, and I'm persuaded. I am convinced, Timothy, that it's in you. All he's trying to say, if you hang around the right folks, if you get up under the right people, what's in them will be in you. So get around some good folk. Oh, my. I'm not saying denounce your family. I'm saying get around some good folk. So Paul said, I remember your grandmother and your mama and their faith, and I'm persuaded, which means I'm convinced that it's in you. Then verse 6, now you remember. Paul's telling Timothy, you remember. God's telling you and I today, no matter what you're going through, no matter how frustrated you might be ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to give this whole thing up. God, this God thing ain't working for me. I'm tired of this church thing. I've been praying. I don't want to read the Bible no more. It's all numb. It's all dumb. I can't handle it. Ain't nothing happening for me. I got all these other people all up in my ear telling me how I can make me some quick money, how I can make me some quick love, quick this and quick that. I don't need all this kind of stuff. I'm waiting on the Lord. I feel so corny. All my friends, they got it going on. They got cars. They got houses. They got money. They got the bling bling. They got it going on, but they are miserable. If you could see them when they're by themselves, they don't have a peace that passes all understanding. They don't have a love that's unspeakable. They got all this other stuff. They got all the material, and they don't have no spiritual. They're really not doing well. If you don't believe me, when you go home, look on the website or go on your iPhone and check out Hollywood, California. All them folks making all that money. They got all these kind of awards. They got all these things on their wall. They got all this money. They got these 50-room houses, and they somewhere in a clinic, because money doesn't do it. I'm not saying there's anything wrong material things, but it does not do it. They got all this stuff and talking about I'm unhappy. What's that lady's name? Ivana, fix my life. I saw that stuff. I said, girl, you better get up out of here. All that stuff you're talking. One day she was talking about, she thinks the Bible says that. Bible ain't say nothing like that. Get out of here. If you want your life fixed, you ain't got to go to Oprah, Steve, or Evelyn, or whatever her name is. I can't even say her name because I get to talking in tongues about her. But the Lord is good. Let me finish this. He said, I want you to remember. He said, remember what you have in you. That's what God is saying to somebody today. He said, I've been with you all the time. Even before you accepted me as your Lord and Savior, I was the one that was with you. I was with you when you were young. Then somebody tried to kill you. Somebody tried to snuff you out, but I was there with you. I kept you from danger, seen and unseen. I embraced you. I wrapped you up in my arms. I put you in my protection. I've been with you. When you only found one set of footprints, guess whose footprints they were? So first of all, Timothy, remember. Don't be walking around talking about, I can't do this no more. Good. God said, I wanted to do it through you. I was wondering when you're going to get to that point you're going to let me work in you. I'm glad you're tired. I'm glad you're frustrated. But before you quit, let me work through you. So first of all, Timothy, remember. Then he says, stir up the gift of God. Remember and stir. You know what that word stir means in the Greek? That means to fan a flame or to rekindle, which means that even though the enemy threw all this stuff at you, the fire's not out. Lord, have mercy. God said the fire. He said, Paul was telling Timothy, just get you a wave of the Spirit, just a fan. Anybody ever do a campfire or light a fire and it got real low, or in your fireplace, not the electric one, the real one, in your fireplace, and you just begin to, and the flame, God is trying to tell you and I, let me on you. On your gift. On your gift. Because the enemy's got you frustrated and you're talking about you can't do this no more. And God said, no, 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 no. Let me just on your gift. He said it means to fan the flame to rekindle. He said, Timothy, I need you to remember the faith. And I want you to stir up the gift. And then he told Timothy, I want you to remember something. He said, when I put my hands on you, when we ordained you, there was a confirmation of the gift, during your ordination, of the gift that God has given you. So don't let folk get all up in your face, all up in your ear, and tell you that God didn't tell you to do such or call you to do so many things. You got to be careful with that. Because when you look for man's approval, you're going to be messed up. But this one don't like me, and that one don't like me. Do you really know that ministry is not based on folk liking you? As a matter of fact, it's based on folk disliking you. Because when you're working for the Lord, even in the church, oh, my God, everybody talk about heaven ain't going to heaven. Amen. See, there's wheat and tares in the church. That's why God said, leave them alone. Don't tear them up. Leave the tares alone because they might turn into wheat. He said, let me handle all that. Don't you worry about that. But don't be looking for men's applause and men's approval. It's okay to be recognized for some stuff. But you go ahead, when you know God has told you to do something, you just go forth and do it. And you ain't got to be arrogant about it. You ain't got to be nasty about it. Just flow. Because when you're flowing, can't nobody touch you when you're flowing. Anybody ever been flowing? You just been flowing. You flowing. And you know, people saying stuff and it's falling off you now because you're flowing in the spirit. Because they talking natural crap, but you're flowing in the spirit. Therefore, it no longer affects you or touch you because you're in the flow. Because has flamed your fire. And what does fire do? Fire purifies. Fire intensifies. And when the fire gets hot, some folk can't be around. That's why some folks don't want to be around you because your anointing's too hot. Your calling's too hot. They don't want to be nowhere near you. It's not that you're saying the wrong things. They don't want to hear what you have to say because you walk around talking about Jesus this and speaking truth and they do not like it. Then he told Timothy, look at verse 7. For God hath not given us what? He's telling Timothy, God hasn't given you the spirit of fear and being timid. I look at the word intimidation. Intimidation means that somebody puts timidity in you. Don't let nobody get so close that they can talk you down off God's mountain and put timidity in you. He said, God has not given us the spirit of fear. Therefore, when opposition comes, don't walk around talking about, I can't do this no more. Say to the fear, get thou behind me, Satan, because God has given me the spirit of power and the spirit of love and the spirit of a sound mind. And that word power is the same word that we get the word dynamite from in the English. You, man, that's why folk can't be around. You ready to explode. You dynamite. Never mind. That means power, ability, and mighty works. Because the enemy is trying to shut you down. When you show up for work, the enemy doesn't want you to show up for work. Don't want you to show up for duty. The enemy wants to shut that thing down because God's going to get some glory. Somebody's going to get blessed. Somebody's going to get delivered. Somebody's going to set free. The worst day for a Christian is Sunday morning when you're trying to get up and get prepared for church. You guys. Saturday night, you saw you had everything set up. Got up Sunday morning and found out because you was half asleep Saturday night, you burned a hole in your shirt. And the hole's not in the back, it's in the front. If it's in the back, I put my jacket on. And then I was singing and I forgot and took my jacket off. Hallelujah! No, but. He gives a spirit of power. Of love, which is the agape love, which means that when somebody's coming at you, you can still love them and not love what their act is. You don't have to love the mess, but you can love the person. So that's what the agape love, that unconditional kind of love. It gives a spirit of love, a spirit of power, and of a sound mind. Sound mind means that self-discipline with the implication that this discipline demonstrates prudence and the ability to discern what God has for your life. A sound mind. And that spirit means that the wind, breath, the immaterial part of the inner person that can respond to God, that spirit being. So Paul was saying to Timothy, look here, I know you're frustrated. I know you're feeling oppressed and opposed, but I got good news for you. He hath begun a good work in you. We'll perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He said, look, don't worry about anything because no matter what happens, God still has you. And you got to go through to get through. What are you talking about? Let God work in you and through you and use you for His glory, honor, praise. Seek first His kingdom and His of God and His right. All these things shall be added. Remember, you're not at a party. You're in a spiritual warfare, but the party comes later. Somebody turn with me to Romans 8. Turn to Romans 8 as we close this out. There's some things in Romans 8 that just blows my mind. Look at Romans 8:18. Anybody going through, anybody that was ready to throw in the towel, give up on God, leave church, leave God, leave the Bible, you can ready to burn your Bible and burn all your church clothes. Hold up. You get a little bit too drastic. You get too much drama, baby. Hold up. Yes, thank you. Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Then drop down to Romans 8:28. And we know. There's something God would have us know. And we know. The good, the bad, the in between, the ups, the downs, the mountains, the valleys, the pluses, the minuses, the darkness, the light, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. Look at verse 29. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. You got to understand, when you give your life to Christ, you want to be like Christ. What did Christ go through? But He still got the victory. You can't forget that. Look at verse 30. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, then He also called. And whom He called, then He also justified. And whom He justified, then He also glorified. You got something going on in your life. And then you know when we close out, you got to be like Jesus. When the Garden of Gethsemane. When you look in that cup that God gave you, you got to find out there's some bitter and there's some better in the cup. And you got to get to the point, God, if there's no other way for me to get to where you need me to get to, if there's no other way in my life that I can bring you praise, honor, and glory, I'm going to do, God, what you called me to do. Because I realized that from Sunday's message, I'm not working under my own power. That's why I was frustrated. That's why I was tired. That's why I was confused. But when I let you work in me and work through me, Lord, have mercy. I'm at my Garden of Gethsemane right now, God. I was ready to quit the church and quit you and quit everything. But then I began to talk to you and say, Lord, this bitter cup, if it can't pass for me, see, you got to understand, if you don't go through what God would have you go through, you're not going to get through. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Jesus saying, you know what? Nevertheless, you got to get to a point in your life, God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. On this hand, I can't do this no more. On this hand, nevertheless, I can't. What? How many times did Jesus go back to him saying, Father, this bitter cup, I can't do this, nevertheless. That nevertheless is going to win out. Because anytime you tell God, nevertheless, the spirit of love, peace, and a sound mind, God begins to on your flame, on your fire begins to get rekindled, and you feel the presence and the power of God in your life, and you begin to get renewed and revived. You say, Lord, here I am, use me. That's what God's trying to tell us today. Don't walk out and tell him, I can't do this no more. He said, good, because you can't. But before you quit, let me work through you. Let me work in you, and let me work on you. God is saying, stop trying to be afraid of all the stuff that people try to throw at you. Tom, I'm shy. So I said, okay. I took care of your shyness. I don't have no skills. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I hate crowds. Hey, sorry about that. God says, stop the excuses. There's somebody sitting right here today, but God is saying to you, I just blew on your fire. I blew on your gift. And I want to use you for my glory, honor, and praise. But it all starts at the cross. If you don't have the blood of Jesus, I used to think that if I could get myself together, then I would join church. I thought I needed the haircut, the suit, the shoes, the tie,
the cufflinks, you know, the nice smelling cologne. I wanted the glasses all cleaned up and shiny, you know. And God said, you just doing external stuff. I'm an internal specialist. I'm an internist. Because if you can let me get inside you, I can take care of the other stuff. He said, seek me first in my kingdom, and all these things shall be added unto you. You let us stand all over God's house. I can't do this no more.